Today's daf is Pehei, and we'll take it from the bottom of Pedal Amud Beis, Masiv Rabin Bar Nachman. The Gemara was talking about the parallel between a Kohen and a Kohenes. The Isser that applies to Kohen would also apply to a Kohenes. So, going along these lines, the Gemara asks the following question. Masiv Rabin Bar Nachman, lo yichu, the Pasuk says. The entire Pasuk reads, Isha Zona v'chalala lo yikachu. V'isha grusha misha lo yikachu. It says the word lo yikachu two times. So Gemara says milamed she'isha muzharis ayidei ha'ish. That a woman also, it says the fact that it says lo yikachu two times tells us that one's referring to the man and one's referring to the woman, and that the isha is also warned about not marrying somebody who's possible to her. So the Gemara says. So Amar. So what's the question here? So we say from here that. Even though before we had said that a Kohenes is not Muzheres to marry a Chalal, this pasuk seems to imply that a woman is Muzheres. She is not allowed to, there is an Isser involved for her to marry a Chalal. So Amar Rava, Rava explains, Kol Heicha Dehu Muzar, he Muzheres, V'Kol Heicha Dehu Lo Muzar, he Lo Muzheres. Whenever he's warned, so then she's going to be warned also. But whenever he is not warned, she's not warned either. So a Chalal is not muzhar about not marrying Kohenes. A Chalal is allowed to marry Kohenes, so since a Chalal may marry Kohenes, a Kohenes in turn is allowed to marry a Chalal. It's only when there's an Isser involved, for example, if a Kohen marries a Grusha, there's an Isser for a Kohen to marry a Grusha, so then the Grusha is also going to have an Isser. When the man himself is mutter to marry the woman, then in turn the woman is mutter to marry him as well. That's how the Gemara explains. Now Gemara says, is that really true? Is it really learned out from the pasuk above that we just brought lo yichu two times? It's learned out from the following statement that Rav Yehuda Amarav v'chein tana de Beir Rishmal isho isha ki yasu mikol hachatos ha'adam. The pasuk seems to equate isho isha, man and woman together. Hishva kas of isha l'ish. The Gemara equates woman to man. L'chol onshim shebatorah, regarding all Torahs, all onshim, all chatos. Pasuk again says, isho isha, kiyasu mikol chatos adam. Regarding all chatos, regarding all onshim, men and women are equal. So Gemara says, so why do you need another pasuk, lo yichu, to tell me that there's an equation between man and woman? It's from this pasuk. So Gemara says, no. Imeahi, had you had the pasuk alone about isho isha, kiyasu mikol chatos adam, that pasuk alone, have amina lav hashava b'chol. Only when it comes to a lav that's equal across the board to all types of people. Aval lav she'ain shava b'chol, lo. But had it been a lav that's not shava b'chol, if it's a lav that's unique to only Kohanim, the only Kohanim are warned about marrying a grusha, and only Kohen Gadol is warned about marrying an amana, maybe that type of specific lav would not apply to a woman who's a Kohenes. Only a lav that applies to every single Jew. So, for example, a lav like eating tray, feeding nevela, these types of things, or arayos that applies to everyone, or stealing, any whatever lav it is, if it's a lav that applies to all Klal Yisrael across the board, that's where men and women are equal. But it's a lav that's unique to Kohanim, like a grusha and a chala, those types of yisurim, that may not equate to a woman. That's why you need the pasuk lo yichu to include women in a very specific, a very kohen oriented type of mitzvah. So Gemara says, wait a second.
Let me ask you a question. Now the Gemara talk, meaning it's Amoraim.
Mm-hmm.
So they make the drashas, meaning they bring up the answers.
It depends. Sometimes they quote a brisa. The brisa is from the Tanaim. Earlier they make the drashas also.
Gzera Shavos have to be Mesorah.
Gezeirah Shavos has been Mesoras from Halacha Moshe B'Sinai.
Right.
Okay, so the Gemara asks, so now that's the klal. Again, the pasuk Isha Isha is generally assumed that applied to everyone. The lo yichu is very specific to something that applies to Kohanim. That's how we know a woman is also Muzar on those unique Kohen specific lavim. So ask the Gemara, top of Pehe Monalf now. Hare Tuma, the lav she'ain shav b'chol. There comes a tumma that a Kohen is not allowed to become Tamei Meis. It's an Isser that applies to Kohanim. And lav shav b'chol, it's not equal across the board, it's unique to Kohanim. Yet, women are excluded only because Taima de Chasa Rachmana b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nos Aaron. The pasuk says that b'nei Aaron are warned, and more like Kohanim Musharin v'lo Yisrael, Kohanim are excluded, but it says b'nei Aaron, only the children, only the sons rather, are warned, but not the women. So ha lav hachi, had we not had the pasuk of b'nei Aaron, Hava mina nashim chayavos. We would have thought women are also obligated to keep the mitzvah of tumah. But why? Then we say, what's the source? We said isho isho. That pasuk only applies to lavim that apply to all chayso. So what's the hava mina to think that a woman would be chayav by a kohen specific mitzvah that tumas kohanim, which only applied to kohanim? Why would you think to include women there also? You wouldn't think to include women because it's not Shav Bakol.
Well,
why do you need a limud of Bnei Aaron, Vilbanos Aaron? You should have known this without Bnei Aaron, Vilbanos Aaron, that women should not be included since it's very specific to Kohanim.
Based on the previous
passage. Exactly. So Gemara says, my taima, la mishum Rav Yehuda Merav. So is it not because you already have the other pasuk, previous pasuk to tell us that women are excluded? Where it says lo, the gamrinon mi lo yichu, from lo yichu. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says lo, the gamri mi lo yichu. Kolomer mi isha isha. That pasuk lo nafkalan el alav ashashava bechol. We only learn that a law that applies across the board to all types of Jews. That's where women are also included. V'had itzrich lemute v'lo benos aron. Ah, so what's the need to exclude women from tumas kohanim? We already know that they shouldn't be included in that very Kohen specific love. Bishum di lo ma'atinyan, had they not been excluded from the pasuk of Tumas Kohanim, have a gamrinan mi lo yichu di mechayv l'nashim alav shein shava b'chol. Because since you have another pasuk lo yichu, which you already learned, lo yichu comes to include women that kohanos are included also in very Kohen specific mitzvahs, you would think they should also be included in Tumas Kohanim, kamash l'anat. So let's go through the whole thing. One pasuk is isho isha. That says that women are included in all lavim that apply across the board. That are shava b'chol, they're included. But when it comes to Kohen-specific ones, you need a separate pasuk. A lo yichu comes to include women, also to very Kohen-specific mitzvahs. So since you have that second source, you would think they should also be included in the Tumas Kohanim, Kamash Bilan, from Bnei Aaron, Vlobos Aaron, the women are excluded from Tumas Hames.
So this is talking about Tuma, about issue of being tummy without any other issue. Meaning a coin is asked to get tummy no matter what, even if he doesn't eat truma. It's just the being of
tumor. Exactly. Right. He may not become
tummy. So that's a woman are asked to eat truma, but a betuma and all that, but they don't have an issue of being tumor themselves.
Exactly.
If they don't eat, they don't do anything.
Exactly. Okay. Right.
Meaning coin cannot do that. Can go to the cemetery.
Exactly. But she can't eat chuma while she's tummy. If she wants to eat chuma, she has to become tahor. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, there's a shaila if a woman is pregnant from a kohen.
Yeah.
Then she's not allowed to go because she's a kohen inside her. Okay.
Maybe not.
But
maybe kohenet.
Right. That's part of the suffix. Right. Okay. The Gemara says now, Ika damri, kicha itzirichle. So the Gemara says, you knew the word kicha, kasaka daita chamina ligmar mituma kamashvlam. So a different version of the story is, since we learn, forget kicha, let's say we don't know about kicha. So right now what we have is isho isha hashav b'chol, that men and women are equal regarding all onshim that are something aser hashav b'chol. And then you have the pasuk of tumas kohanim, that bnei aron v'lo bnos aron, that women are excluded from this. So one would have thought, just like women are excluded from Tumas Kohanim, so too they should be excluded from all Kohen unique mitzvahs. Even from the issues of marrying people, they shouldn't be marrying. So that's why, you know, Kicha Kicha, the teach me, you know, they are included in the Isurim of marrying someone they're apostle to. So it's saying the same thing at the end of the day. There's no machlokas in the Maskana, just the question is which la, you know, Liman comes before which. Gemara now says, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bre, Rav Yeshua, Iklu, Lihin Tzuvu.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that line. So, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Braid, Rav Yeshua, Iklu Lihintzav. They once visited this place called Hintzav or something. It happened to be the La'asri. There was a place there, Rav Idi Bar Avin, where he lived. Ba Minayu, they had asked, when they came to visit, they asked the Gedolim that came to the town, they asked Rav Papa and Rav Huna the following question. Who's Haruk Sheros Lihinase Lepsulin Olo? Are women who are kosher women, are they warned, are they violating the Isser if they were to marry somebody who is apostle to them?
You're asking about Kohenes to Chalal, right? Again.
Is it talking about Kohenes or is it talking about Yisraelis?
It's Kohenes.
Okay. So the question is, are Kohenes also, are they warned about marrying someone who's apostle to them? So Amar Leh Rav Papa. Rav Papa responds back to the town that asked the question. They had like a question and answers, I guess. Tanisua, we have a brisa. The brisa tells us, it appears in Maseches Kedushin also. Asar Yuchsin Alu Mibavel. There were 10 different families, lineages, that arrived with Ezra from Bavel back to Eretz Israel. And there as a follows. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Chalalim, Gerim, Harurim, Umam, Zerim, Nesin, Shusuki, Vasufi. These are the 10 different ones. That should have been 10, right? 4, 6, yeah, it's 10. So what's the? So these are the 10 different mishpachos. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Mutan, Levod, Zabazeh. Those three families may intermarry with each other. Levim, Yisraelim, Chalalim, Gerim, Harurim, Mutarn, Lavo, Zebazeh. Those also groups of families may marry each other, but not beyond those. Geri, Haruri, Mamzeri, Nisini, Shisuki, Vasufi. Those groups are Mutarn, Lavo, Zebazeh. So these are different groups. There are 10 groups, 10 different families, and there are 3 different categories that are allowed to marry within each other. So Ve'ilu Kohanos, L'chal L'katani. It doesn't mention that women, Kohanos, are allowed to marry Chalalim. The fact that it doesn't mention this tells us they're probably usher to marry them, otherwise they would have included this. So Amar Leh Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Kohecha Dehani Nisve Mahani Vahani Nisve Mahani Katani.
Whoa. Since when anybody pay attention to the women?
that's what the Gemara is going to say.
No, only for this limo, they all of a sudden the women. So it's they always refer to men, not women.
Right. But it's, I guess in the end of the day, if it were to be true that women are mutter, kohanim are mutter to marry chalalim, so why don't we have that taught anywhere?
Didn't mention leviot and israeliot and shtukiot and asufiot.
Right. So there's no distinction. Right. So that's where I end up saying. Where I answered that kohecha dehani nasvi mihani, hani nasvi mihani katani. Whenever it's the same, where the women marry the men from them and the men marry the women from these groups, when it's equal, both men and women, then they listed those. But Kohen, Kevin de'ilil boy leminsev chalala, asirle, since a man, a Kohen, may not marry a chalala, as asir, therefore lo katani, therefore they didn't mention a woman may marry a chalala. They were, as you're saying, they're being consistent. They're talking about when something was
this
the same.
This only if it goes both ways.
Exactly.
They put it in this mission.
Exactly.
But not if... And this mishnah is in Kiddushin. It's a mishnah, right? Or it's a
brayso. Taisu is usually a mishnah, I guess. It does appear in Kiddushin. It looks like the mishnah.
Yeah, mishnah can.
Looks like the mishnah in Kiddushin.
Kiddushin samach tet amud alef. I read it mishnah.
Oh, beautiful.
I remember it. Somehow we learned it. I'm surprised because we learned it somewhere else. No, but we learned it afterwards. No, it wasn't somewhere else.
It's similar ideas come up. I'm not sure if this exact mishnah doesn't quote it on the side as being quoted elsewhere other than Kiddushin. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Asu lekame de Rav Idi bar Avin." Then they went to Rav Idi bar Avin. Amar lehu, "Dar deki, hachi." So what does "dar deki" mean? The young lad, the children. "Dar deki amar lehu, dar deki hachi." Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, "Lo hu zaru ksheres linasai lipsulim." Apparently, the klal was they had such a mesora that they are not warned about marrying people who are pasul. A kohenes may marry someone who is pasul to them. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah Shnius Medivrei Sofrim Vechule. So this is talking about the different Isurim, that the secondary levels of Arayos that were Isuri Dirabanan only. So in light of this, the Gemara asks, Bai Mene Bene Beri, people of Beri must be a town of some sort. Rashi says Makum, Mirav Sheshes, they ask of Sheshes, Shnia Lebal Velo Shnia Liavam. Let's say a situation where the woman is Usher as a Shnius Lerayos to her husband. She was not really allowed to marry her husband in an Isser Medivrei Sofrim. But turns out to her brother-in-law, the Yavam, her husband dies. The Yavam, she's actually completely mutter to the Yavam. So what's a situation that might be the case?
Grandmother from the mother's side.
A grandmother from the mother's side. Aha, okay,
with
fine.
The same father.
But different mothers.
Different mothers,
okay.
And the grandmother from the father.
So it's a situation. So he married his grandmother something, which right. Ushered him. But his brother, through his father, is not related at all to this grandmother because it's from the other side. Okay. So given that situation, they ask Rav Sheshes this question. Yesh laksuba miyavam alo. Does the wife now, who's a widow, does she at least collect the ksuba from her yavam, the brother-in-law? Is that permitted? Why? Kivin da'amar mar ksuvasa al nichse bala rishon lesle. Since we say the ksuba really goes back to the husband's property, and her husband was also to him, so really she shouldn't get any ksuva. Odilma came into Ilo Lesle Marishan Takinal Rabban Mishani Islay. But or do we say, since we have elsewhere, we learned this a few times in Yevamos already, if the first husband's property, his estate, had no money to pay up the ksuba, then it falls back on the Yavam, the brother-in-law, to pay for the ksuba. So in this case, since she doesn't get, he might have, but she's not, she does not deserve.
It's the wife of the grandfather on the mother's side.
The wife of the
grandfather.
It could probably be either way.
It could be either way.
I think maybe either way. So since, or do we say since that the wife is not allowed to collect from her ex-husband, who the one who passed away, because she's ostracism. But in general, we say if the first husband has no money, it falls back on the Yavam to pay for the ksuba. So maybe here too also, it should fall back on the Yavam to pay for the ksuba. So that's what they asked Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes responds back, Amar le, Amar lehu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says back to Bnei Biri, Tanisua, I have a mission that tells us that as follows. Ksuvasa al nichse bal harishon. The ksuba is on the nichse bal harishon. V'mhaisa shnia labal. So the Gemara just before, the Gemara is going to clarify, and if there's the second husband, if the woman is aser midin shnios, aser midin sofrim to the baal, then it goes even to the yavam. So I feel me yavam ainla. She doesn't even get from the yavam. So Gemara says mechlal diisle miyavam. Does this imply that she's allowed to get from the yavam? Gemara just point out this unclear price of what's going on here. So without trying to figure out what the havmina was, the Gemara says there's missing something key here. Chasur mechser, something was missing in the Mishnah. And Hachi Katani. The way the Mishnah should be written and read is as follows. Ksuvasa al nichse bala rishon. The ksuba gets collected from the estate of the first husband. And then it says, vi lesle mi rishon. If, however, the rishon has no money to pay back to the ksuba, takina le misheni, then the Chum instituted that should be collected from the yavam, the second person marrying her. Vim haisa shnia le baal. But if, let's say, the baal rishon is aser to her, midin shnios, then afil miyavim ein la. Then she does not collect even from the yavim itself. So that answers the question.
It's a clear answer
from the Mishnah. The Mishnah wasn't so clear; it was missing a few words. But once you clarify, it becomes clear. If that makes sense. Okay. The Gemara says, "By minei Rabbi Eliezer." Rabbi Eliezer asks, "Mir Yochanan, almana lekoyin gadol, which is of course aser, the grusha vechaluta lekoyin hedel, which is of course aser, but a chaluta is only iser midrabanan, as we've seen." These situations, do we say yesh lehem mezonos or ein lehem mezonos?
Is Grusha not allowed to marry
Kohen Gadol as well? You're correct, exactly.
So Alman and Grusha, and Kohen Gadol right. Only Grusha.
Because Kohen Gadol is a Kohen Hedyot plus.
So Kohen Hedyot allowed to marry Almana.
Yes.
Not Grusha.
Correct. So the question was asked, these Isurim, these people who are asked to marry the Kohen or Kohen Gadol respectively, yesh lehem mezonos or ein lehem mezonos, do they get to collect mezonos, food, from their husband who's usher to them? So the Gemara answers as follows. Hey Chidami, what's the situation where, what was the question that was really posed to Rabbi Yochanan? Ilema diyasra to say, if it's that they're currently married, then bamed vahotze, come mezonos islay. We have to force him to get divorced. So why would we allow him to feed her if we're trying to get him to get divorced? Get divorced, but meanwhile just feed her money. It doesn't make any sense. We're trying to get divorced right now. Currently, while being married to this Grusha or Almana, they're violating constant Isurim. We encourage them strongly. We force them to get divorced. So it wouldn't make sense to provide her with any mizonos. So that can't be the situation. That would be too pasha to ask a question like that. Lo tzicha, the only room to ask a question was in the following scenario. Shehalach hu l'medina sayam, whereby the husband, the Kohen, went to Medina Sayam, went overseas, loved Savachla, and she needed money. Her husband, who would provide for her, was not around, so she borrowed money from her neighbors to get some food for herself. So, Mai, what's the halacha now? Mizone tenai ksuva ninhu. The mizonos is one of the stipulations in the ksuva that he has to pay for her mizonos. Umidisle ksuva isle mizono. From the fact that we'll see in a little bit later that she's allowed to collect ksuba, even though he's asatur, she does collect ksuba, so maybe also she should be able to collect the mezonos, because the mezonos is part of the document, this agreement of ksuba. Ol dilma, ksuba dil mishkal umefik islay, mezona dilma tiakev gave leslay. But maybe the ksuba is where she's supposed to go out and take it when she leaves. But if she has mezonos, maybe she'll stick around a little bit longer and say, what's the need for me to get divorced? Let me just stay here and get supported by my husband, even though he's asatur to me. So the ksuba, we say, we have to pay, as we'll see why, there's a knas for the husband, he has to pay her. But to allow her to get mezonos, that's only going to encourage her to stay married to him longer. So we wouldn't allow him to pay the mezonos. Those are the two tzadim. That's the suffix. So what's the answer? So Amar Lei, Lesley. So she gets no muzanos. As we said before, the svar being, because we want her to leave this relationship, if she realizes she's not getting paid, we're not going to pay her back any money that she borrowed. We're not going to make the husband pay her back that money. It's going to make her to really push him to get divorced. And that will...
He doesn't have to pay back her loan.
Exactly.
That's the question.
Right. We're trying to promote the divorce here. Whereas, wait a second, does she really not collect muzanos? Hatani, the Braisa says otherwise. Yesh, the Braisa says she in fact does get muzanos. Mar says, no, Kitani Hahi, that Braisa.
A Braisa.
There's a Braisa that says that she does collect the mizonos. So what's the difference? Gemara says, Kitani Hahi, the Braisa that says she does get mizonos, Hahi Lachar Misa, after he dies. After he dies, then she's allowed to collect the mizonos. She's allowed to collect her loan. But if while they're alive, we do not allow her to collect the loan from her husband, that's only going to encourage her to stay. But if he dies, of course, there's no issue with staying anymore because he's dead. So then we pay her back her rights. She really does deserve the rights of getting the mizonos. Because since the husband has an obligation to pay the ksuva, and part of the ksuva is paying the mizonos, he really has to pay the ksuvas. But we pull out the collection of mizonos in order to encourage her to get divorced. But once he dies, there's no concern anymore. We allow her to get paid back the loan from the estate. Gemara has a slightly different version of this back and forth. Is damri, which is like ikadamri. Others say, Armalei Tanya Yeshla. The first answer was, no, she does get mizonos. The Braisa says she's allowed to collect mizonos. She could collect back her loan. But then the Gemara says, wait a second. How can we allow her to collect the mizonos? We encourage them strongly to get divorced. By giving her mizonos, that's only going to encourage her to stay. Ella Hatanya Yeshla. But doesn't the Braisa say anyways that she does get mizonos? Gemara says, Kitani Ahi Lachamisa, as we said above, the situation where she gets mizonos is when the husband dies. Then after that fact, she's allowed to collect the loan that she had collected for the mizonos. Okay. Bryce in the bottom tells us now, Tanu Rabbanon, Almana l'koin gadol, grush v'chalus l'koin hedo, these different isurim, yesh l'ksuva, she's allowed to accept the ksuva, peros, mizonos, belos, what's belos? So Rashi in the Mishnah, I think, told us belos. There's a Tosos here. Look at Tosos belos. Tosos writes, perish b'kuntris b'mishnah senu. Rashi wrote on our Mishnah. You see it? Yeah. Belos. Perish b'kuntris b'mishnah senu. Rashi explained on our Mishnah, Gavi Shnia, regarding the Isurim, the second level Isurim of Arayos. Dein la belos, shim yesh la dayim belos, v'shchakim mibigadim, shachnisa lo, eina notlam, k'shiyotze. Dikonasa kantu chachamim. That's talking about the worn-out clothing that she had brought into their marriage. She's not allowed to keep these clothing, these rags that she had brought in with the relationship.
So this is blouse?
Yeah, that's a blouse means. Worn out clothing. Tos has a slightly different interpretation. He talks about the only things that mamish are completely worn out. There's no use anymore. If there's something that still is maintained and still usable, I think Tos explains that she actually does collect. Okay, whatever that machlokes is about.
What is the case? Whose begadim are there?
It's her begadim that she had brought into the marriage. She had some clothing.
So he has to return to her if they got used up during the marriage. Is that what it is?
No, I think if she still has these belos and these worn-out clothing that she brought into the relationship, she brought some cloth into the relationship, she's not allowed to take them back, I think it says. It's a knas.
It seems that if she brought her own clothing and they got used during the marriage, he has to pay her back for that.
Oh, he does have to pay. Okay, the Rashi says eino not lasan. The Rashi says
maybe that no.
Meaning eino not lasan, he doesn't take it. He gives it back.
Oh, he doesn't take. He doesn't take it.
He takes it and gives it back. Why to pay? Just give the clothes. Swimming clothes.
Why wouldn't he give it? It's her own clothes anyways. What would be the have a mina that she wouldn't be able to take?
Sell it. Reuse it. I don't know.
Next woman.
Meaning because her clothing are his now once they got married?
I guess.
Right.
To use it and sell it and make some money. But the halacha is she gets to keep these belows. And, okay, fine. Viter. Then the Bryce is also v'hi psula. She's possible now that she was a Grushin, married a Kohen, she becomes a Chalala. Or if it's an Amana to Kohen Gadol, she becomes a Chalala. And moreover, not only is he Psula, but Vlad Apostle, her children are also Apostle, they're also Chalala. V'kofenos alahotzish, and we force him to divorce her. Now, Shnir, that's all talking about Isur Midiraisas. That's Grusha to Kohen Gadol, Grusha to Kohen Hedi, rather, and Amana to Kohen Gadol. But Letate only Shnios Medivrei Sofrim. Letate the second tier of Isurim that were not Deraisa, they're only Asim Medivrei Sofrim. Then the halacha completely changes. It's somewhat counterintuitive. Now, the halacha is Lo Ein Laksuva, Lo Peros, Lo Mazon, she gets nothing, no fruit, no Mazonos, Lo Bolos. So you would think that if it's a lesser Isur, maybe there should be more Makulas. When she violates an Isur Deraisa, so then she gets Mazonos. But when she violates only an Isur Deraisa Sofrim, she actually doesn't get anything. So it's counterintuitive. The Gemara is going to explain all this.
One of them is Arayas, the other one is Lavin.
Right, but still only Mederai Sofrim, as opposed to the ones La Mederaisa.
Okay.
So,
Mederaisa. What is Shniot L'Arayot? Example.
Oh, I forget the example. I think they're like a great-great-grandmother or something. A great-great-grandmother?
Right.
Something
this
like that.
Shniot.
Yeah.
It's not like Shlishi Revi.
It's not talking about generations, how far away. It's talking about a second group of Yisroel were created by Chachamim. I mean, Mederaisa, they only are asked a certain generation. Mothers first, and grandmothers also.
Shnios means that you have some that are karet, who are written in the Torah, and then some they didn't get there, that they should marry,
and
then it's a love, it's not karet.
Mm-hmm.
No, not even a love. Midiraisa, Shnios are not even us or Midiraisa.
So it's just Midiraisa.
Midiraisa, and Chacham said, we're going to extend it, Midirabanam, to include other people who are not us
or
Midiraisa, but similar to them.
Or when it's still a love.
What?
Still a lav.
No, it's not a specific lav. It's a lav listening to the Chachamim.
Okay.
That's Lo Sasser, but it's not a specific lav of...
So it seems that this is a Knas and the other one is a...
Exactly.
Right?
So that Gemara is going to explain all this.
Right.
So when it comes to, again, these Shnios, these second tier of Arayos, which are only Asur Medivrei Sofrim, the woman gets no Ksuba, no Peros, no Mazonos, no Bolaos, but he Kshero. But she's actually kasher because there's no Issa Deraisa that happened here. And Vlad the kasher, her children are also kasher. They do not become halalim. They are still full-fledged kohanim. And still kofanos olahotzi, but we do force him to divorce her. So Amar Rishman ben Elazar, mipnei ma amru, almana lekohen gadol yesh leksuba. What was the reason why an almana married to kohen gadol, which is a violation of a Deraisa? She's allowed to get a ksuba. Mipnei shu posel, vihu psula, where he's posel, and she's pasul, the chomakum shu pasul of hipsula. Whenever we have that he's pasul and she's also pasul, kansuosa subasa. We always make a knas. This all started part of the line of questioning. There should be a knas. She shouldn't be able to collect the ksuba. And furthermore, the question continues. Umipnei ma amushnios medivrei sofrim ein la ksuba mipnei shu kasher v'hikshera. The chomakum shu kasher v'hikshera kansuosa subasa. So Gemara has to Rashi explain what's going on here exactly. He doesn't really explain the pshat here. So,
why she needs to lose in the second case in Shniot L'Arayot? If the first case, he's the konsim oto, he's the one that punished that fine get fined, which with the hektuah. Why this case he doesn't give hektuah?
So that's in question. That's exactly what he's asking. So if you look at Rashi kansu osok suva. So Rashi explained it really should mean klomar lo kansu mishar kol nashim. The question is, why were they not knasim? If he married someone who's aser to him, the kohen to the grusha, why was there no ksas? What knas? Why do we make him pay the ksuba? Normally there shouldn't be a ksuba. So Rashi explains klomar lo kansu mishar kol nashim. Behind the kansu rabban l'shnia ksuba. Why do we make the shnia pay the ksuba? Kidei shelo tisakev etzlahu. We don't want her to stay married to him. Dechem lo lehevi la ksuva minei shav kalei v'nafke. Now, if she's not going to get the ksuva, shniel, she doesn't get ksuva during shniel, as we said, she's going to say, I'm not staying with him. I'm not getting ksuva. What's the point of me staying here? Alhacha lo tzarech. But here, by the case of where there's an issa deraisa, there's no need to encourage a divorce. Dimimela shav kalei. She's going to leave automatically. Dechem dehu nifsal al yada. Since he becomes pasul, so long as he's married to her, yesh ketata b'neim, she's pasul, and he's not allowed to work in the Beis Hamikdash. She can't duchen, he can't do all these wonderful things. So he's going to want to leave anyways. So that's why there's no need for knas. There's already a built-in knas that he can't work in the Beis Hamikdash. That's going to be enough of a reason for him to divorce her. But the case of Shnios, where he does not get disqualified as a kohen, he's allowed to continue to do the work. There's nothing encouraging him to stay. So therefore, we say to her, you're not getting a ksuba, by the way. She's like, wait, why am I staying for? So she's going to want to leave the relationship because she's not getting ksuba in the end of the day.
And she's allowed to remarry a kohen? Yes, right?
No, in case of Shnios, yes. In the case of Shnios, she's kasher. So that's the first explanation as to why there's a difference between the grusha and chalutza versus the shnia. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe gives another explanation. Halalo divrei Torah, v'divrei Torah in tzuchin chizik. V'halalo divrei sofrim, v'divrei sofrim tzuchin chizik.
Right,
the difference is exactly. When it comes to divrei Torah, which is the case of grusha, chalutza, and almana, those are already isur deraisas. Isur deraisas don't require any additional chizik. We already know there's a status of being a deraisa, so we let everything go as follows. She's allowed to collect the ksuba. But when it comes to divrei sofrim, where people take lightly, divrei sofrim, the chum made it up, it's not a big deal, it's just an extra gether, people won't take it seriously, so we had to make it more serious by instituting an isser of collecting the ksuba. That's supposed to strengthen it in the eyes of the people that, wait a second, this is not just stam, this is a real isser that's going on here. Davar acher, another interpretation of the difference between these cases, is zehu margila vizuhi margila. So, this one is he's ragil, and this one, she's ragil. So what does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, the first narrow line down, he says, Zehi margila, Zehu margila, rather. Almana l'koin gadol v'grusha v'chalutza l'koin hedyot, those cases, hu margila umasisa linaselo. He's going to convince her and entice her to stay married. But zushnia d'cheim d'lo ehi mifsile, but if she's not, so what's in the first case, where she's pasul, she becomes a chalala now. So she's losing out here. She's becoming halala. So it's the husband who's trying to convince her. The husband doesn't get affected by this, because if he just divorces her, he's allowed to go back and work.
Right.
So he's the one convinced. I don't care what happens to you. But she's the one who needs to be convinced into this relationship, because she's going to be the one to be puzzled, and her children are going to be puzzled. So therefore, it's his fault. He's convincing her to marry her, so he has to pay the ksuba. But in the second case, v'zu shnia, this case of the shnios derayos, d'chem d'lo'i mifsele, she does not become puzzled herself. V'lav zara mifsele, and her children are not puzzled either. She doesn't lose out anything. Bibiasa, so he margilasa. She's going to try to convince him to marry her. Sheisha rotzalinasa yosem eish. Because typically speaking, a woman would rather be married than a man would rather be married. So we're assuming that she's the one who's forcing this relationship. So she should have to be penalized for forcing this. But the first case where he's the one forcing it, because she doesn't want to be in this. I don't want to become puzzled. No, come on, I'll give you nice gifts. I'll give you a lot of money. So he's convincing her in the first case. That's why he gets penalized. Then the Gemara says there's another distinction. Davar acher, another explanation of the difference between the first cases and the second cases, is man katanila, who was the one who authored it? Ikadamri Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar katanila. Really, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said this. Uma tam kamar. And you have to read it as one flow. He says as follows. Ma tam amru hu pasul v'hipsula. What's the reason why when he is pasul and she is pasul, namely the case of the Grushin Kohen Hedo, Kansosa Ksubasa, Ksuba, Bibnei Shehu Margila? The reason why we penalize him in paying the Ksuba is because he's the one convincing her into a relationship. She's like, I don't want to get married to you, I'm going to become pasul. He's like, don't worry about it, I'll give you a lot of money and nice everything. So since it's his fault, he penalized her. So this is a continuation of Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar's explanation. Umatam hu kasher. And he share why in the case where he's kasher and she's kasher, namely the case of shnios, kansu osa, we penalize her of ksuba that she does not collect the ksuba. Mipnei shehi margilasa, as we said, because she's the one convincing him. She has no reason to. She's not losing out anything, and she wants to get married more than him. So she's trying to entice him to marry her. So since it's her fault in that second case, she loses out and she does not collect the ksuba.
Right,
so combine those two cases exactly. Ikadamri. Others say, no, the way you read it is as follows, that really Rebbe Katanila, Rebbe read the, he is the one who authored the reasoning. The Chalutza Kakashile, and he added a question of Chalutza. V'ha Chalutza Derbanan, this like Suba? So we gave this answer of Halalo Divrei Torah, V'halalo Divrei Torah, Divrei Tzofrim. But wait a second, Chalutza is in the first grouping. And the Isser of a Chalutza to marry a Kohen Hedyot is only Isser Mederabanan. So this explanation, this distinction of Divrei Torah versus Divrei Sofrim is not accurate because in the list of Divrei Torah, it's really Chalutza, which is Divrei Sofrim.
What's Chalutza?
Chalutza is someone who received a Chalitza. They...
Oh. The old 85 pages.
We haven't spoken about it in a while. It's been a long time. So, the Gemara says, so according to, this was the question, Rebbe had basically asked himself on his explanation of the distinction between Divrei Torah versus Divrei Sofrim. Well, Chalutza is on the list of Divrei Torah, but Chalutza is actually only Divrei Sofrim. That was the question. So the Gemara responds back. Where did we go? Sorry. So This like Suba Hadar Amar, so then he responded, Kevin de Pasale Midirabanan Zel Margila Vizuhi Margilasa. No, but since you're right, even though Chalitza is only Midirban Isr, but since we passel her on a Dirabana level, she still does not want to engage in this marriage. Because she's gonna be puzzle, even though it's Midirban, it's still gonna be puzzle. So therefore it's still his fault, the husband's fault, who's convincing her, don't worry about it, we're gonna have a great relationship here, a great marriage, it's okay if you're puzzle, there's still gonna be wonderful kids and wonderful marriage. So it's really his fault. So that's why we penalize him and not her. So that's Rebbe using that svara of who margila versus he margila. Asks the Gemara now, Ma ika ben Rebbe Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar. What is an afkamina between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar? Which two differences? So,
he gave a time of halalu divrei Torah, and Rebbe Shimon said zehu margila.
Uh-huh. So, what is there an afkamina between these two svaras? So, Gemara says yes, there are. Amar Rav Chista, mamzeres v'nesina liyisrael ika benayo. A mamzer nesina who marries a yisrael, that's going to be the difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar. How so? Madamer deraisa hanami deraisa. The one that says that they separate between Isur deraisa and Isur derabanan. So this is also an Issa deraisa for Yisrael to marry Mamzeres and Nesina. That's an Issa deraisa. So there should not be any knas here. Just like by the deraisas, there's no knas. There's no knas here either. But Mibnei Shu Margila, Madamer Mibnei Shu Margila, if the reason was because he's going to be the one who's convincing her to stay, and that's why we penalize him, that's why we pay the ksuba. So ha-hi margila le. In this case, she's the one convincing him. The Nesina is convincing the Yisrael to marry her. She has nothing to lose, exactly. Then, the Rabbi Eliezer, damar hareza eved umamzer. But according to him, who says it's an eved or mamzer, the son, so if the children actually will be lost out, the children will become avadim or mamzerim, so she has what to lose. She doesn't want her children becoming possible. So then, halo margila. So she's not going to be the one. Vlomide, she's not going to convince him to marry her if she's going to lose out or her children are going to lose out.
Here we're talking about something else. We're talking about mamzeret unetina who marries an Israel. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Rabbi Eliezer, he says mamzer shenasa.
So what
the balav
become kasher?
Here's a different case. It says mamzer who married the shifcha kananis.
The idea is as follows. In the previous case of a mamzeres marrying Yisrael, she doesn't have what to lose out because the child who's going to be a mamzer may always marry a shifra and become tahor. Even though right now the child might be a mamzer, since she's a way of becoming, the child can become tahor, the grandchildren can become tahor, that's not viewed as being possible forever in her eyes. But now, according to Rabbi Elazar, who thinks a mamzer can never become kasher, there's no way of him becoming tahor at all. So then, according to that, then she would never be willing to marry such a Yisrael. I think that's
why,
what's going
on. Because if she would marry a mamzer, then there would be an option or not.
If she...
A mamzer who marries a mamzer is fine, or they keep on going forever also.
Look at Rashi, he margilale. The case that she's the one, if she's a mamzeres and she marries Yisrael, she's going to convince him, because we said she has nothing to lose. So Rashi explains, hol ve'ena grua machamaso, tircha v'hadra linasa liyisrael, kidei lihalas zara, v'yafagav dibuna nami mamzer, wait a second, isn't her child a mamzer? So she does have what to lose. Dekayim lan halacha achar psulin, you always follow the psulin, and since she's a mamzeres, the son's going to be a mamzer. Afil hachi, still, nonetheless, came in the ikka takanta limamzer, and there is a fix for mamzerim. She's willing to be matriach and marry. She's possible as this. She's a mamzeres. And she's willing to go out and find the Yisrael to marry, even though her child is going to be a mamzer. She knows there's a possibility the mamzer can marry a shifcha kananis and end up having a child who's eved. The eved is going to be freed and the eved will become a full-fledged Yisrael. So that, therefore, works as a nafkamina, that she will convince him to marry her. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, who thinks that there is no fix, you look at Rashi, the Rabbi Eliezer, the Poligala, the Rabbi Tarfon, he argues Rabbi Tarfon. Vamar Mamze Shinasa Shivcha Haulid Ben, A Nitar, Minha Mamzeris, Bishul Avdusova Hava Evan Mamzer. And he says, no, if a Mamzer marries a Shivcha, the child will be an Evan plus a Mamzer, and you can never get rid of the Mamzer, it always exists.
Right.
So how can Rashi continues? How came in the Leka Takan to Lazari? Since there is no fix for the children, Lo Mehadri Limbaf. So Lazari, she's not going to seek someone to marry who's going to end up apostling her children. So according to him, what's Nafkamina going to be? According to Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Elazar, either way, this child it's going to be always him as at fault. The husband will be at fault, convincing her to marry her.
But I don't understand because the whole svara is that she has nothing to lose. So she doesn't have nothing to lose.
No, but here she does, because her children, she's not going to marry someone to have a puzzled child.
Why not? If she doesn't marry, she also, anybody
either
she
either way, because since she's a mom, Zeris.
Now she's a little bit higher in the...
Just say that the woman want to marry more than the man, so...
She does, because yeah. she gets a parnasa, right.
She has something to lose.
Tov lemein taftan, do mi lemein tav armela.
Whatever it
is. Isn't that a...
Yeah, it's a Gemara condition. Yeah.
So the Gemara says that a woman always likes to marry because it's better for her to be with somebody else and be alone, no matter what.
Same for men, no?
No.
No?
No. Okay. It doesn't say for men.
No, I said same for men.
No, but it doesn't apply to men.
Yeah.
Because men, it's easier for men.
It is.
Men find women much easier. Meaning a man doesn't have to give up on anything to get a woman because... Woman would rather. It's woman who's more desperate to marry.
I hear all your right. question. I hear.
Yeah. Fighter.
Either way, she's getting mamzeris.
Yeah.
Okay. The Gemara says now. Ella Amar of Yosef. Rav Yosef says there's a different nafkamina. Machsir grusha mishenises ikibinaya. So we said machsir grusha. So is a case where a person divorced his wife. Now this wife, ex-wife, now had married somebody else. Then that second husband either died or divorced her. And then she remarries the first husband. That's an Isser Machsir Grusha. So a person can marry his divorcee as long as she didn't marry someone in between. But if she did marry someone in between, then it's an Isser Deraisa Lav to remarry that ex-wife.
So
that's an Afkamina. What?
Big no-no.
So that's an Afkamina. How is that an Afkamina? So explains the Gemara as follows. Mandamar Deraisa, the one who thinks that whenever there's an Isser Deraisa, then he has to pay the Ksuba. There's no need for Chizuk HaTorah. Hanami deraisa. This is a violation of deraisa, so we go according to the regular rules, and he pays up his ksuba. Uman damar b'bnei shumar gila, if it's one who, because he's the one who convinced her to marry, so it's his fault, so he's penalized. Ha, he mar gila lai. But in this case, she's the one convincing him to marry her again. Why is that the case? Why is it on her to convince him? There will be no psulin. She doesn't get psul, and the children don't get psul in this case. So that's why it's allowed. There's no psul here in this case. Since it's only chayvi lavin, there's no psul mamzer here. So she's the one convinced him, let's get remarried.
It says, "V'af lekuna inam nisalim sheken nemar ba to'eva hi v'drashachamim hi to'eva ve'ein banea to'abim."
Oh, wow.
The kids are
yeah, I know that much. I knew that. So Cohen marries his Grusha, he's not going to be...
The kids are still not halalim.
And then certainly, if the Cohen marries a Grusha, let's say the Grusha never remarries somebody else.
His Grusha or any Grusha?
No, any Grusha.
No, here's
he can't. But he can't marry any Grusha. His own Grusha, apparently. His own Grusha, he's not allowed to, but if he does remarry, that Grusha will not create halalim. Only
right.
somebody else's Grusha will.
Right, a regular Grusha does, his own Grusha doesn't.
Right, okay.
That's a finish.
Yeah.
So it's probably a Mefurish Gemara summer, I don't remember. The Gemara says, okay, this makes sense, but however, according to Rabbi Kiva, Damar Yesh Mamzer Mechayavi Lavin, he thinks that there is a Mamzer from Chayi Lavin, therefore Machsik Gushaso would have a Mamzer, so she would not convince him to get married. She doesn't want to get married to have children who are Chalalim. So what's Nafkamina going to be according to Rabbi Kiva? Halo Margit Lavlamida, she's not going to convince him to get married to him if it's going to create a Mamzer. So El Amara Papa Be'ula. Bula Kohen Gadol. A Bula, a non-Basula to Kohen Gadol, is Ikabinar. That's the difference. Mandama Deraisa, Hanami Deraisa. This is an Issa Deraisa. So if it's Issa Deraisa, we said, we go back to the normal halachas and he has to pay the ksuva up. But Mandama, Mipneshu Margila, if it's because he was one convinced her to get married, Hahi Margila Lei. But in this case, it's the Bula who's convincing the Kohen Gadol to get married. So here too also, because even though there's an Isser of a Kohen Gadol to marry a Bula, it will not create, since it's only an Isser Aseh, it's not, and then even for Kohen Rabbi Kiva, it's only an Isser Aseh, and Isser Aseh, according to everybody, will not make Mamzerim or Halalim, so therefore she's the one convincing the Kohen Gadol to marry her. And according to that case, then she would be penalized and she cannot collect the Ksuba.
It seems to answer what I asked before, it seems that the whole derech of the Gemara is only towards having kosher kids.
And which question?
The one that she would, the mamzeres to...
Only kosher kids, but you said a good question, but if it's, either way she's going to have puzzle kids,
right,
so...
Yeah, but it seems that the whole derech here is that it's only talking about cases where the kids are kosher.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
Then we give her a knas. If the kids are not past kosher, even if she's okay for her, we don't give her a knas, I think.
Okay. Now, according to Ulur Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Damar Yesh Chalal Michai Ve'Aseh, he argues and says, no, Chi Ve'Aseh, there could still be a Chalal. And then Almana marries a Kohen Gadol, that will still create Chalalim. According to this, then, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Halo Margila Le'ev Lamida, she's not going to convince the Kohen Gadol to marry her if it's going to make her children Chalalim. So what's the nafka minhag going to be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So Amar Rav Ashi machzir safek sotasa ikibinayo. The situation Rashi explains safek sot. It's right almost where we are exactly in the Gemara. Safek sot. The Rashi says shekinala v'nistra. The husband warned her, says don't be with a particular person, and she goes with him anyways in a makom stira, in a private area. The koy Allah be isur deraisa. There's an isur now for him to be with her until she drinks the waters. It says the word nidma two times in the parsha's naso. Echel bal, echel bal. She now usher to the husband and to the bal and to the one, the adulterer, until she drinks the sota and sees whether she's innocent or not. So this person says, suffix sota, not vade sota, suffix. We don't know what actually happened. We just know she went somewhere in a hidden room, in a hidden building, them two by themselves, who she was already warned against. So what's the case by suffix sota? So this is an isidaraisa, ikuminayo. Man damer deraisa, haname deraisa. This is also deraisa. So therefore, like any other deraisas, he has to pay the ksuba. Here it's also he would have to pay the ksuba to her. But man damer b'nei shehu margila, it's because he's the one who convinced her to get married. Ha hi margila lei. In this case, she convinces him to stay married to her.
And what are the kids from this? They're okay.
Well, I'm guessing the kids from this case must be okay. That's why she would convince him. Right. She has nothing to lose here. So Gemara said, wait a second. Ule Rabbi Masi ben Cheresh damer afil halach baila lashkosa. But Rav Masi has this interesting shita that let's say they're on the way to go to Sanhedrin to drink the waters, and on the way up they were with each other, relations with each other. She becomes a zona, so she does have to lose. She becomes into the status of being a zona, and there are a lot of ramifications for that. So then she does have what to lose. She will not convince him to marry her. So in this case, it won't. Either way, it's going to be on him, and he shall pay the ksuba. Either way, that's not an afkamina. Ella, finally, Gemara has this is a undisputed nafkamina. Ella Amar Mar Bar Rav Ashi Sota Vada Ikabinayo. If it's a Sota Vada, a Vada case of Sota, which Rashi explains is Sota Vada is Eishes Ish Shezinsa, a married woman who had Znus, the Isurale Midiraisa Dechsev Vihilo Nispasa, the Mashahol Vinansan Asura. The basis possibly that the source said a married woman who is Mizana is going to be Vavei Aser to her husband. That's a situation where there will be an afkmina. Why?
The kids are what? The kids are in this case?
In this case, the...
Vedat Rabbi Mechar Mechar Vesota Vadai Neseret Vedala Mideraida Ein Lekonsa Veilu Ledat Rabbi Shima Melelaza Mechar Vehi
The kids from the original husband are okay. The kids from the one that she's on top with, or mom's.
Right. And even after becoming a Vale Sota, they're still with each other. The children still will not be mamzer.
Okay.
So she had nothing to lose. She already is a zonim because she already is a ishes issue is mizanim. So she herself has nothing more to lose, and her children have nothing to lose. So therefore, she's the one to convince him to get married. So in that case, she will not get the ksuba. But mitzad being deraisa, it's still in the deraisa. So if you assume the reasons because of deraisa versus derabanan, then he would have to pay the ksuba since it is in the deraisa.
Even though it's a lav, ein havlad hanulad mimeno mamzer.
Right.
So that's the answer. So even the Rabbi Akiva holds that all the Isurei Lav are Mamzerim, in this case,